You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, and I teach entrepreneurs and dream chasers to take action on the dream God put on their hearts. I empower go-getters to get past their stubborn insecurities so they can crush their goals, outgrow their fears, and create prosperity in their businesses and lives. It's time to rise and shine. Let's dive deep. Hey guys, it's Trish Blackwell of the Confidence Podcast, your confidence coach, and this is episode 363. We are talking today about perfectionism, really whether or not you're a perfectionist, and how, if you are, to stop being your own worst enemy. Because perfectionist might be the one thing that's keeping you from the results you want in life. We're going to dive into what is perfectionism, how to know if you're that. We're going to talk about 10 signs to help you determine if you are one. And then I'm going to give you 7 quick tips to help you stop being a perfectionist and really be bogged down by it. Help you really claim the title that you are a recovering perfectionist in the way that I have myself. So as promised, this is going to be one of those episodes that you're going to want to buckle up for. You know, I realized now that I had mentioned last week, for those of you who listened, you heard my sweet little Ellie's voice at the end of the podcast. We were talking about her thoughts on a life that's rushed versus a life that isn't. Well, and I promised you that that topic was going to be this week, but sometimes things get put on my heart where I just know that I want to show up and serve somebody with this message. I know that somebody right now is struggling with perfectionism, with putting too much pressure on themselves, and I wanted to provide you a resource. I looked back at my podcast archives and realized I haven't really done a lot of episodes on perfectionism, even though it is something I do. I just relate to so intimately as one of the things that I've struggled with, an addiction that I've struggled with, and my life on the other side of perfectionism has been just joyous and filled with so much freedom and confidence. That is not to say that I still don't have to make decisions every day to go against my perfectionistic tendencies, because let's be honest, I lived as a quote-unquote perfectionist for probably 20 years, and I've lived in recovery as a recovering perfectionist for maybe about 8. And so you gotta keep in mind that I'm still making decisions every day to choose the way I want to live. So we are, don't worry, the promise that Ellie gave, that episode that we talked about how to slow down, how not to be in a hurry, that will be coming up. In order to make sure you don't miss it, just hit subscribe, whether you are in iTunes or on Stitcher Radio or wherever you listen to your podcast, there's a subscribe button, hit that and you're going to get every episode that comes your way. Before we dive in, I love to highlight my review of the week. And you know what? I love this. This is from Legs79, and she said, just subscribe already. 5 stars. And here's what she said. I've been binge listening to Trisha's podcast for over a year now. Even though I have different spiritual beliefs, her insight and messages are for all individuals looking for some guidance and courage to live a more fulfilling life. Her energy is contagious, and she breaks down things into manageable changes that you can incorporate into each day. Life's a journey, and I'm ready to step it up in my 40s with Trish cheering me on. Trish, thanks for being a rockstar confidence coach. And Lake 79, you made my day. I love getting to cheer people on. It gives me such joy. And it's so funny when I think about like my personal attributes and the things that I really feel are gifts from God, the one thing that I always go back to is I have this really nerdy, unshakable, really authentic enthusiasm, and I've always had it. And it's so cool to see that I've been able to take that personality gift, right? That's just who I am, and I really sincerely have that enthusiasm to that I get to do that as a full-time business now. Like, it is my job to be enthusiastic towards your success, to cheer you on. And that just makes me so happy. So thank you for telling me and affirming that you feel that love, that you feel that authentic just support and cheering from me. And I just also appreciate that you were transparent and said, listen, we may have different spiritual beliefs, but that you still feel part of this community, part of the confidence crew, and that this podcast still serves you. And I just really appreciate that feedback, as well as somebody who wants to speak boldly about my faith, but also love everybody for where their beliefs and for where they're at. So thank you for being part of that as well. So let's talk about this, y'all. Perfectionism. What is it? Okay, so the definition, I looked it up. Let's talk about Wikipedia. I mean, you know, I really went into the textbooks here. But according to Wikipedia, perfectionism in psychology is a personality trait characterized by a person striving for flawlessness and setting high performance standards, accompanied by critical self-evaluations and concern regarding others' evaluations. All right, so let me break that down a little bit more simply. It's caring too much what people think. It's living in a way where your identity is determined and sways based on the whims and opinions of others. And it's a striving. That word striving really spoke to me. It's something I feel like God's really been working on in me to show me that what the difference is between the pursuit of excellence and then also the obsession and addiction to striving. And if you've ever felt like you're on a finish line that always moves, right? You're on the treadmill that just keeps speeding up, that one achievement leads to the next. You get a promotion at work and that doesn't feel like enough. And you're well beyond the income level that you thought would be your dream income level, but you still feel like, gosh, maybe you should want to make $50,000 more. Or maybe now you're comparing yourself to somebody else and you still feel less than. It's that idea that maybe just you know your body's beautiful, but gosh, maybe it'd be even better if it was just another 2 pounds lighter or just a little bit tighter with that 1% less body fat, or that, you know, you're doing all the things, all the people, but maybe if you could just do a little bit more, be a little bit better wife, and that then you'd give yourself permission to relax and say, yeah, girl, you're doing it. You're doing well. And here's the deal. It is an addiction. I call it myself an addict to perfectionism because it was an addiction for me. Performance, achievement, striving. It's part of my Enneagram 3 personality, to be honest. I am a doer, an achiever, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as I've learned from years of therapy and a lot of years of research, that there are healthy versions of our personalities and unhealthy versions. So as your confidence coach, it's my prayer, my goal that you would be able to step into the healthiest version of your personality. Now, another question you might be thinking about is it a mental disorder? Trish, you mentioned that you were addicted or that this can be a really destructive personality. And it is not a disorder because it is some of us have a propensity towards perfectionism in our personalities. But it's a mindset that sets us up to be at risk for obsessive compulsive disorder, or for obsessive compulsive personality disorder, for eating disorders. Surprise, surprise. You guys know my history. That was a good 20 years of my life. Social anxiety. I'm raising my hand as well here. Social phobia, body dysmorphic disorder. I got two hands raised here. Workaholism. I got if I have all four hands raised, that's my feet too. I mean, that's workaholism, self-harm, substance abuse, and clinical depression, as well as physical problems like chronic stress and heart disease. And so while perfectionism, some of us hold to it because we think it makes us more driven. Like, and I know I held on to mine for years. I used my perfectionism as a scapegoat, sort of a justification of unhealthy behaviors, of unhealthy boundaries, of unhealthy work habits, of unhealthy sleep habits, of unhealthy, internal pressure towards achievements, that I wouldn't let myself go unless I could get to the top, right? It was, and I justified it all because I was a perfectionist. You guys, hey, you know what? No, I don't have the high standards. I'm just a perfectionist. I got high standards for myself, but not for everybody else. I don't judge anybody else. And the reality is that that's not true. If we are, how we measure judgment towards ourselves is how we measure it towards one another. And so I know in the mind of a perfectionist, we think, well, I'm only really hard on myself. And the reality is it's that how you are on yourself is how you also are on others, whether you realize it or not. That was hard for me because it felt kind of ugly. And so I had to work on that. That was one of the things that made me go, okay, so this high pressure, high stress perfectionism just isn't working for me. Like, what would it look like if I did things differently? You know, one final definition I wanted to share with you is from Psychology Today, and they said that perfectionism is a trait that makes life an endless report card of accomplishments or looks. And I don't know if there's a better definition than that. I'm going to repeat that. Perfectionism is a trait that makes life an endless report card on accomplishments or looks. And also, they expand upon it by saying it's a fast and enduring track to unhappiness. It's often accompanied by depression and eating disorders. And so as I read you that definition and the byproducts of perfectionism, you can understand how, as a perfectionist, I had a lot of achievement. I was very successful on the outside. I lived this life of just ticking the boxes, right? That seemed to be that I was happy. And perfectionists are also really good at putting up a big facade. And so I, man, made everybody think I was happy and chill and good and living the life, right? And inside I was crumbling. I had severe anxiety issues. I had struggled with chronic stress, social anxiety, eating disorders, body dysmorphic disorder, and crazy addiction to my work and to exercise. And so I want to share with you some of the signs that will help you determine if you are a perfectionist or not. Because the biggest freeing thing that happened for me in my life in relation to perfectionism was when I realized that it wasn't healthy for me. When I realized that, I also realized that I had a choice. So once I realized it wasn't healthy for me, I just thought, well, this is who I am. This is part of my identity, right? It's just, I'm Trish, I'm a perfectionist. And you get to decide who you are. We don't have to walk into in an unhealthy version of ourselves unless we choose to do that. What you feed in life is what will grow. And so you can feed this or you can't. It's up to you. And when I realized I didn't have to feed the perfectionist wolf, that I was able to find some freedom. And I kind of was able to embrace this identity that was different. It was this identity that I was free from perfectionism. I was no longer a slave to the chains that it held me back with. That I could claim, hey, you know what? The old Trish, she was chained down. She would have done that. She would have circled back around that 15 times, but I'm free. I'm a recovering perfectionist. I'm a recovering addict. I don't care anymore. I'm not that person. I get to do things differently. And I'll tell you, the weight of anxiety in my life just lifted off of me. And my happiness, my joy, my relationship with God, everything improved. So what are the signs that you are a perfectionist? I've got 10 here for you. This is not an exhaustive list, but it will get you started. These are also written down for you in our show notes, which you can find at trishblackwell.com/363. So number one, you know you're a perfectionist if you feel like you're never doing enough. You're never doing enough. You never have enough time. You feel like you're always behind. Everybody else is doing more than you, and you want to feel like you've got it all together, and you're exhausted when you wake up, and you're exhausted when you go to bed. Number two, you strive for high achievement, and unless it's the best, you'll feel like you failed. So my best example for this is if you are a student that was like, I'm committed to an A+, like A+, like I don't, the devastation you feel, the disappointment with an A. Or, you know, for me, I didn't struggle as much with A versus A+, but it was an A- versus a B+, which is a negligible difference, y'all. But to me, it was an identity difference. I couldn't be a B+ student. I had to have an A in front. And what that really meant was really more about my control and my misled identity. I, at that point, really believed I was valuable for what I did. When the real truth is I'm valuable and I have worth in this world and I'm worthy of love for who I am. Number three, you know you're a perfectionist if you cannot accept and celebrate your success. Now, I was a classic at this one. I knew I'd get an achievement and I'd be like, okay, well, what's next focus? I would barely be done achieving it. I'd celebrate and be like, okay, well, how do I get faster? How do I get faster? How do I get skinnier? How do I make more money? How do I do this more? How do I date somebody more famous? I mean, I went down all these routes and you go, okay, well, now what? And one of the things that I do, with my members in the College Confidence, and you've probably heard me talk about this on the podcast, is we do these things called champagne moments. And I do it because I needed to learn to celebrate success. I needed to start paying attention to my micro milestones. And we celebrate champagne moments all the time. And whether it's with metaphorical champagne, I like to call club soda, I love myself some club soda, or actual champagne, but slowing down and saying, that life is good and progress. My forward momentum is worthy of being celebrated. I don't have to wait for the destination. In fact, I choose to celebrate the journey. Number four, you know you're a perfectionist if you don't allow yourself any mistakes, and then you punish yourself for the ones you make. Now, my favorite story of me doing this, often these are in arbitrary scenarios. Before my husband and I were married, we were really proactively saving. We were getting married in Bora Bora, which sounds really exotic, but we had to, you know, do it on a budget and save and go all in. And so during the savings time, I rolled through a stop sign. I was turning right. It was like the middle of the night. And I got a $200 ticket of some sort. And I hadn't gotten a ticket in years. And I was devastated. I remember going back to the house and telling my then fiance, okay, like, I'm not even going to, you don't even have to beat me up for this. Like, not beat me up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to add to this. I'm going to let you know what I'm doing to make up for this. I was so devastated that I had gotten in trouble and taken away $200 towards what we needed to do to spend on this Bora Bora trip and over something so stupid. And so I said, don't worry, I'm going to go 60 days and not spend anything on myself. And I had already said, like, I already had calculated this was, by the way, I got the ticket about 2 miles from home. So in that span of 2 miles, I'd already been able to calculate for Brandon how many dollars I would save by not going to Starbucks, how much I was going to save by not doing something else. And he looked at me with this blank look on his face and was like, are you kidding me? Babe, you don't, we have this money. This is, I mean, things happen. It's just a ticket. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I need to pay the price. Like, I was so mad at myself for being so quote unquote stupid to not pay attention to a simple rule that I knew to have to pay for it. And I didn't want that payment to come from anything that would affect our family. So I punished myself. And so that story always, that was like the last time that I think I really leaned into it, because he was like, oh, we got to fix this. I can't be marrying a woman who's punishing herself over this kind of stuff. And that's when we really dug deeper. And I actually at that point went and saw a therapist to help me work with some of the perfectionistic pressures that I felt that really displayed themselves in those little ways that you keep circling around your mistakes and beating yourself up. From small mistakes to large. Okay, number five, you might be a perfectionist if you put a facade on everything. You spend a lot of emotional effort pretending that everything's okay because you're actually really just afraid of people's judgment. So I remember being exhausted at the end of the day because I put so much effort up to be happy, and inside I was actually just desperately insecure that I wasn't further along on whatever achievement path that I wanted to be. So, perfectionism is a lot about image and what do people think of you. And it's this really ridiculous sense of that we think that we can control what people think of us, which if you've listened to this show before, you know that that's not true. We know that it's a definition of insanity to think that we can control what somebody's opinion of us is. In fact, their opinion of us is none of our business. Not only can we not control it, it's not our business. Number six, you might be a perfectionist if you stick to what you know and you avoid challenges or uncomfortable situations where you might not be the best. I was definitely this. Man, I only liked doing things I'm good at. Like, I liked doing new things, but it was good being the best. And so I took a coach. A coach came into my life and really instilled into me this concept that life begins outside of your comfort zone. Now, I know you've heard that adage. It's become quite popular. And at first I heard it, I was like, yeah, Debbie, I get it. Thank you. Life begins outside of your comfort zone. That's awesome. I'm on board and I'm comfortable pushing myself into pain. That I know what that feels like. But really the lesson I got from it was, whoa, like, I got to start thinking about the beyond my comfort zones that I've even already thought about. Like, and I had to start choosing to go do things that I'm not good at just so I could learn to let go of this idea that I wanted to impress people. And so now I'm all for pursuing things intentionally that I'll be bad at so that I can continue detoxing any of this remnant perfectionism that is an unhealthy version of my personality. Okay, so number seven, you might be a perfectionist if you procrastinate and struggle with getting things done on time. Sometimes perfectionists are often procrastinators, although a procrastinator doesn't typically consider themselves a perfectionist because they would think, well, perfectionists are performers and they just do things really, really well. Well, perfectionists are also putter offers because they want things to be really, really perfect so much so that they won't start until they're absolutely certain that they're ready and it's perfect and everything will go well. And chances are, most of the time when you wait for that, first off, there's never a right time. And when you wait for what you think is quote unquote the right time, it never comes, or the opportunity passes you, and you end up being somebody who never follows through on what you say you're going to do, which then makes you mad at yourself. You start beating yourself up, you put more pressure on yourself, and you perpetuate that cycle of perfectionism. So interestingly enough, procrastinators are often perfectionists. Number eight, you might be a perfectionist if you believe that your likability is linked to your performance or achievements or looks. And so this is that perfectionism is performance, that whether it's you want to be the fastest on your team, the most popular in your school, the leader of your mom's club, the most successful entrepreneur of your mastermind group, whatever it might be, that there is this link to my likability and the reason I fit. We've subconsciously taught ourselves that because the people like me, because I do things, or because I make, like, and not because of who I am. There's a huge shift when that happens, a thing you can set yourself free with when you just go, what if I actually am liked for being me? Number nine, you might be a perfectionist if you feel unsatisfied with life all the time, like you're chasing a finish line that's constantly moving. You know, it's what we talked about with the definition from psychology today, that it's an endless report card on accomplishments and looks. You're always being graded. You're always being assessed. You're always trying to measure up, but you're not quite hitting it. And then number 10, you are probably a perfectionist if you are hypercritical of yourself. Hypercritical, and you heard me say it before, oh, I just put a lot of pressure on myself. It's all good. Yeah, that kind of pressure, that's not a good sign. And you know what? I don't know any scenario where putting pressure, negative pressure on people really gets them to the results you want. I think about my children, and like if I like force them to do something, like it's not done well. If I cheer them on and build them up and support and make it fun, oh my gosh, I get these delightful children who engage and do things. And it's the same when I'm encouraged by a coach, I thrive. I can remember a swim coach who was so critical, and it brings out this rebellious spirit in me. I felt like I just did everything I could to get out of his way and not do what he said. And so it's interesting that we think that being hard on ourselves gets us better results. Beating yourself up and being a bully is never going to get you something good. All right, y'all, I've got to pause our coaching for a moment and let you in on a FabFitFun secret. I'm currently obsessed with my new FabFitFun box subscription. I seriously didn't think I'd ever find a company that aligned with who I am and what I like as much as I do with FabFitFun, y'all. The best of all, as a busy entrepreneur with two kids under the age of four, let's be honest, I am on the struggle bus when it comes to finding time to shop for myself and for my self-care. But FabFitFun is self-care made simple. My FabFitFun box gets delivered right to my doorstep, so no more wasted time searching for my new favorite thing. The team at FabFitFun already knows what's trending, and plus, I get to customize my own subscription, so I get exactly what I want and what I know I'll like and use. Time saved means more time with my kids, and that's the biggest win I could ask for. Once a season, all you do is you visit their website and you start customizing your own box. For example, would you rather have the Unhide faux fur blanket or the Rebecca Minkoff beanie set? Well, I wanted the beanie set, and that's just what I got. And in just a few minutes, you'll have curated your perfect box ready to be shipped to your doorstep for your very own unboxing. Yes, I'm telling you, that unboxing moment, it's everything. The seasonal boxes come filled with 8 to 10 full sized, y'all, no trial size, full sized beauty, fitness, and home wellness products from some of my favorite brands, and literally all for just $49.99. And y'all, the box is filled with a guaranteed over $200 of product. So, I mean, look, if you're quick at math, you probably did that math right. You're getting the newest, trendiest, fun things that you want for 75% off. And since we're such good friends, I've actually gotten my friends at FabFitFun to extend a gift to you. Just use coupon code Trish for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. That's right, you'll get $200 plus in product for just $39.99. I'm pretty obsessed with my new winter box that just came, and you better bet that you can see me in the Rebecca Minkoff beanie set. It's going to be all over my social media feed. It's so cute. Get yourself the winter box. I promise you won't be disappointed. Just go to fabfitfun.com and use coupon code Trish for $10 off your first box. All right, so in the episode, you heard that we are talking about, all right, are you a perfectionist? But now, how to be your own worst, stop being your own worst enemy. But let's first figure out, like, what does that mean to be your own worst enemy? And I've got some things of, if this resonates to you, or you could raise your hand to more than two of these, you're getting in your own way. You are being your own worst enemy. You are the only reason you're not getting where you want to go. So here's what being your own worst enemy looks like. You don't challenge yourself to grow. You put things off. You play small. You make excuses. You spend more time punishing yourself than encouraging yourself. You have sloppy habits that you don't change. You don't know how to say no to others. You look for approval from others rather than giving it to yourself. You give yourself anxiety because you value what other people think more than over what you know you need to do or by being who you are. You create unrealistic demands of yourself and you set yourself up for constant failure. You identify with your feelings as being who you are, not just something that you're feeling. For example, I'm sad versus I'm experiencing sadness. You refuse to accept yourself because you think that that means that you might be giving up on yourself, wanting more for yourself. You want more self-control, but you refuse to change your habits that are holding you back. You know having a coach would help you, but you're too embarrassed to seem like you don't have it all together. You value the comfort of not trying more than the discomfort of vulnerability. You're scared of change, and you keep telling yourself you're going to take a first step, but you just keep putting it off. Or you keep scrolling and comparing your life to everyone else's, and you never actually dig deep and create your own life. Or maybe you're obsessed about the future or still self-critical of the past, and you never give yourself permission to experience the present. All of those things are being your own worst enemy. That self-criticism, the self-sabotage, the refusal to get help, the refusal to say, I can change this. And so I want you to realize that today can be a line in the sand moment. And that's a first step. I'm going to share with you now seven things you can do to stop being your own worst enemy, to step into a perfectionism detox. And I want you to realize now, today, as you listen to this podcast, it's your time to unlearn what you've taught yourself or what society and culture has taught you or your unnurtured part of your personality has gone wild and taught you. Okay, so first off, a couple of things. Time off isn't time wasted. Growth is better than perfection. You're loved because of who you are, not because of what you do. The world is moved not by people who are impressive, but by people who make an impression. Prioritizing your self-care and being present gives your life and voice power. It doesn't take away from your achievement. It deepens your impact. You can choose peace over pressure. And life doesn't have to be stressful. Stress is a choice. It's time to flip things on its head. I've said it before, kick the status quo in its teeth. I don't know, for me, it was the big thing was when I realized that perfectionism and pressure and achievement and striving had been what I'd always done. And I found myself achieving things but felt empty. Never was enough. I kept needing more. I realized I didn't have much to lose. There's only something different to gain if you try something different. So if you want different results in life, if you want different results in life from what you're currently doing, then my friend, it's time to do things differently. So here are your seven ways to stop being your own worst enemy. And because I like alliteration, all seven start with a C, Just for those of you who might not have noticed, I wanted to put it out there. And you guys can get these in the show notes, trishblackwell.com/363. Number one, create a line in the sand moment. Like I said here, that's today. You draw a line in the sand in your mental memory and say, before I was and now I am. Now I am stepping in who I am becoming. I do not have to be who I is or I've always been. What has always been does not always have to be. I believe the best is to come. I'm convinced that God is not done with me. I know that He is continuing to work in my life and in my heart and in my mind and in transforming me. And so for me, the line in the sand moment, you guys might not know this, but I used to go by Trisha. And when I dropped the A from my name, I had this like freedom. I'm not saying drop a name or drop part of your name or go get a tattoo, but do something that tells you today's when things change. The old Trish, well, I would say the old Trisha used to be perfectionist. The new Trish, man, she's chill. Like, man, she's chill and happy and fulfilled. Old Trisha did this. New Trish does this. Make a distinction between the old way you used to think and the new way that you choose to think. Number two, celebrate the little things. We talked about these champagne moments, but really getting into celebrating micro milestones, because your big milestones, the big breakthroughs in life, they don't happen overnight. They are a culmination of millions of micro milestones all put together in a beautiful journey. And that gets you to the destination. But there's no point in getting the destination if you don't enjoy the journey along the way. Number three, choose joy. Oh man, I struggled with joy so much because I didn't think I was allowed to be joyful because I didn't think I was successful enough to truly be happy. I kind of thought, well, anyways, the thought pattern was flawed. And when I realized it took me living in Europe for a year, living in France, to realize that I wanted joy. And so much that I realized that joy is a choice. It's a lifestyle. It's not circumstantially based or dependent. And so much so that I have one tattoo at this point. I'm about to get my second one, but this tattoo says joie de vivre, which is joy of living. It reminds me that joy is a choice. And it's on my hip. I see it every single time I pee, multiple times a day. I needed to make sure I'm reminded to choose joy, because of the new Trish. She chooses joy. She doesn't beat herself up. She doesn't think about how much she's messed up. She's not beating herself up and punishing herself. She's not comparing herself to everyone or her business to anybody else's. She's choosing joy because the day itself is a gift. Breath is a gift. The opportunity to talk to you today and be on this podcast with you is a gift. Choose joy. It's choosing to see things through optimism. And optimism is the essence of hope. Number four, concentrate on what living beautifully means. You know, when I was living in France, one of my dear friends used to say, you know, la vie est belle, la vie est belle. Like we would have, you know, an afternoon wine and she'd be like, man, la vie est belle, n'est-ce pas? Like, ah, c'est bon la vie. I kept saying over and over, c'est bon la vie. Life is good. Isn't it beautiful? Over and over, that was her mantra and she meant it. And challenged me to realize, to think, did I actually see life that way? I'd always known life's a gift, but I was always so busy striving, achieving, getting to the next level of whatever it was I was pursuing, that I forgot to look for something fulfilling. I forgot to see the beauty that surrounded me. I forgot to choose to live beautifully every day, to look for the beauty. And so I had to ask myself, I had to concentrate on that. What does living beautifully mean? And that helped me step away from perfectionism and from beating my own worst enemy. Because living beautifully, you can't live beautifully and be your own worst bully. Like it's just, that world does not those two worlds do not coexist. Number five, cultivate relationships. I'll tell you the thing about a perfectionist, it's a pretty lonely life. You don't want anybody to really know who you are. You've got your arm out to the world, your heart outside, and you're achievement focused, and you're so busy that it's really hard to have time for people. And that was it was a hard thing for me to realize that happened in my life. But when I slowed down and I went into recovery, I realized I needed to cultivate relationships. And cultivating relationships has been a priority of mine. And it's still sometimes hard for me to put first. I love being productive, y'all. I love doing, but I really get the most value and life and beauty and wisdom and growth from being and from being with people and being in community and not trying to do it all on my own and not trying to have control. So cultivate relationships, whatever that means. Number six, curate confidence and encourage. Curate, that means spend time. You're doing it right now by listening to this podcast. My members of the College Confidence, they are curating it. They are working on it. They're taking that knowledge, but not just taking it and storing it up, but putting it into application. I'm not interested in how much information you have. We have an overabundance of knowledge, but applied knowledge, applied information. That's when real change happens. That's the value of working with a coach. But that's how you step into freedom, into joy, into making your life just beyond your wildest imagination for how much joy it gives to you and how much impact it has in the world. And then finally, number seven, contemplate and slow down. Your calling is birthed out of wisdom, not from busyness. That's been a hard thing for me. I know that my ability to make a difference in this world is not going to come from me making my own way, from me being busy and doing all the things. It's going to be birthed out of the slowness, because it is in slowness and stillness that my character gets developed, that I spend time with God, that I spend time in relationship, that I work through the things. I have time to think. I get that time to be creative. All of the things, they don't come from doing, they come from being. And so I know you're motivated. I know you've got big dreams, but I want you to contemplate and slow down, because in doing that, you're telling yourself you have an abundance of time. And you also are walking a life where you know God's got your plan in control. He is making your path. He is going to make the way that you get to just keep developing you, being a better and better version of you, of who God wants you to be. And then I promise you, doors will open, opportunities will make their way. Now, I'm not saying don't show up and do things, but there's a difference between busyness and having time to develop your roots, develop your relationships, and develop your life. Now, you guys, a few times here in the episode, I've mentioned this perfectionism detox. Now, it's a process I went through when I was really stepping into recovery from perfectionism, and it's a process that I'm finally putting together in a course. It's an extensive and in-depth course on how to really break from perfectionism. It's going to be available exclusively for our College of Confidence. And listen, if you struggle with self-pressure, self-criticism, obsession with achievement, performance, or perfectionism of any type, or if anything that I've talked about in today's episode has resonated with you, then you absolutely need to get into the College of Confidence today so that you can be part of this perfectionism cleanse. Get started at collegeofconfidence.com. It's the place where you learn to create a life you love. You're going to receive lessons and confidence that you can use to think happier, live healthier, and do big things with your life. And the exciting thing is, there's no risk here for you. I offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. So come take the course. And if it doesn't blow your socks off, I get it. No hard feelings. Just let me know. You guys, I have a surprise for you. We have a new format. I was going to tell you at the beginning of the episode, but I got so excited about our topic that I forgot. But you know how we've been doing Tuesday episodes and Thursday episodes. Our Tuesday have been our normal episodes like this, and the Thursdays have been quick faith-centric episodes. And you know what? In all transparency, it became too much for me to take on. I spend majority of my free time. My free time is for my clients. It's for the College Confidence. That is where 99% of my work life is spent, nurturing my members, creating more content, going deeper in the courses, and really serving the people that go next level with me. And so I felt like I was spreading myself too thin. And so what we're doing is, at the end of all of our episodes, we're gonna stick to back. We're going back to our format of one a week. I do think I've got one more in the hopper. I'm not sure when I'm gonna release that, so you better make sure you're subscribed. We're going to close out every main episode just with what I'm going to call a confident moment with God. Now, from whatever faith you're coming from, I still think that what I'm going to share in the minute or two that these confident moments with God are going to be, that they'll resonate with you. And I just pray that you keep your heart open, you listen, and you go back and reflect on it for what it means with your walk with God. Because here's the thing, confidence, it's only temporal if your confidence is based on things we control. I'm not interested in temporary confidence for you. The lie of the world is that we can achieve our own sense of confidence in ourselves through achievement or admiration. And you guys, what did we just finish coaching on? It's a finish line that keeps moving. It's the report card that never stops. I want your confidence to be based on something that's not a constant report card. And so we're certainly wired to pursue excellence, but if that's the only thing we pursue, we're gonna we're going to be left feeling empty after that initial glory fades. So yeah, I want you to have self-confidence, and I want you, but I also want you to believe in that God-given sense of self that we experience and walk when we're fully at peace in who He created us to be. And I really believe that you're pursuing a calling that serves others. So the danger is when our confidence is based on things that are temporary, like grades, income, achievements, body shape, or popularity, that those things fade. If we aren't careful, if our confidence is foundationally based on what we do and where we fit into the world instead of based on who we are as a child of God, then it will tarnish. So in an effort to give you something for your spirit each week, here's a thought to think about. I just want you to realize that any striving that you engage in takes you away from God's grace, from God's delight in you. He is not out to get you. He is good. He loves you. And He's not after your perfection. You can't measure up. That's why Jesus came. That's why we're covered by that. That's what the gift of grace is. God is simply after your heart. So I've got two verses I wanted to share from you. One is Philippians 1:6. So I've got two verses I want to share with you for you to just keep in your thoughts and prayers this week. One is Philippians 1:6, and it says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." Now, I love that because it gives me this confidence to know, man, God's not done working on me. So while I have the propensity and the natural wiring to want to put my pressure on myself and do more and be a little bit more advanced and developed than I am, I can also know that I am where I'm supposed to be. God's not done working on me. He's got this in control. I am in the palm of His hands. It's an exciting thing to think about. You're not doing this on your own. That itself gives me confidence. And then finally, we talked a lot in today's episode about slowing down, chilling out, not having to earn everything, not needing to be impressive, not doing all the time. And you might go, well, Trish, like, is that okay? Is it okay to rest? Is it okay to just be me? Like, what about being a high achiever and motivated? And there's a fine balance, you guys, but it goes back to the 23rd Psalm. And this is what it says, the beginning, the first three verses are, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name." I think that's good. I have all that I need. That gives me confidence. When I can say that I have all that I need, and then also that God lets me rest in green meadows and beside peaceful streams. You guys, I don't know if that, it's for me, that gives me the confirmation that indeed it's okay to slow down, that indeed God is in control, that indeed we can be strong and courageous, but we don't have to do this all on our own. So guys, I hope that blesses you. Make sure you hit that subscribe so you know when that next surprise episode, that final faith episode that we have, that will be coming out. But in the meantime, you can expect to see just a little snippet at the end just to fill your, if I can give your mind confidence, I can give your physical confidence, but if I'm not giving you some soul confidence, then my work as a really holistic coach isn't complete. So let's go on and highlight our listener of the episode, and then I will bid you adieu until next week. So our listener of the episode is from Linda Coster. She said, "Hey, Trish, first of all, I wanted to let you know that I have a daughter named Trisha who changed her name to Trish when she got married. So there's a fun fact." And that is a fun fact indeed, Linda. She said, Linda had recently joined the College of Confidence, and we were talking about what stage of confidence she is in, because that's something I work with in my College of Confidence members. We figure out which stage out of five that you're at and how to progress from there. She said, "When I found you, I actually prayed that God would help me, quote, figure out my ish. And so the funny story is that my daughter Trish bought me an Alexa, and she told me that Alexa does more than play music, that she plays podcasts. So I said, 'Alexa, play inspirational podcast.' She gave me Oprah. Nope, I said, 'Christian podcast.' And then you popped on. Anyways, I was so intrigued. I've listened to several podcasts, and I'm like, this cat reads my mind, huh? So I listened and took notes, but then I when I couldn't get Alexa to get me your podcast again, I had to find your Facebook and website, and then I found your podcast and was able to subscribe all by myself. So there you have it. I'm intimidated and scared and anxious all the time to do this college confidence thing, but let's do this. Blessings, Linda Koster. And Linda, I'm so proud of you, and you are rocking it and really just showing up. And I think we had emailed up back about this, but I absolutely am delighted that Alexa is recommending me and right alongside Oprah. So thank you, Alexa, if she probably can hear me right now. And what a fun way to connect. I just honor you as listener of the episode because you did something that scared you and you heard something that intrigued you and then you went and dug for more. And I can tell you, that is getting outside of your comfort zone. That is stepping into the next level. That is saying, I refuse to be who I've always been. I know I was created for more and you were created for more. And I want to encourage you and everyone listening that part of creating more, being more and pursuing more and growing, it's about being patient. It's being in the season. I heard an amazing analogy the other week. You know, we all want to ride these amazing waves and have this, like, you know, if pretend you're like a rad surfer and you're surfing these waves, but there's a lot of work to get out past that, the breaks, right? You got to get your board and swim out past the rough waves. And then you get out there and you sit on your board and you wait for the next wave. And the wave's not a guaranteed ride. There's a lot of work and there's a lot of waiting in the development, of personal growth, of transformation. So you guys, whether you're working your way out against the waves, or maybe you're waiting in the waves, waiting for the next wave to come, or maybe you're having the ride of your life. Where you are in the journey doesn't matter, because guess what? Once you get the ride of your life, what do? You get washed up on the shore, and then you paddle your board right back out there. I tell you, like, I love surfing. It's been a while since I've been surfing, because kids, but I cannot wait to get back on my board to remember that this is part of the cycle of life. This is the cycle of healthy growth. So lean into it wherever you are, whether you're fighting the waves, riding, or just waiting for your wave to come. Guys, I am so excited. All right, y'all, that will do it for today. I can't wait to see you next week. In the meantime, hit me up on social media. Let me know if this show resonated with you this week. Share it with a friend. Hit subscribe. And if you haven't yet, write a review for the show. It's about time, right? It's about time. All right, go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review on iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.